Hello, I'm Kate Fairweather, and this is On Tour with Curtis, the podcast series that takes you behind the scenes at one of the longest established international law firms in the world. Curtis Malloprovost Moseley LLP was founded in the 1830s in New York, one of the very oldest law firms in the world. Today, we are a truly international firm with just under 300 attorneys, over 19 offices worldwide. In this series, I'll take you inside Curtis to meet some key people, explain a little about what it's actually like to work here, and share what makes the place tick. No matter what your level of experience or stage of career, I hope you'll find this an insightful listen that leaves you feeling you know Curtis just that little bit better. This time, I'm in Washington, D.C., where our offices are just a stone's throw from the White House. To find out about the culture here, I sat down first with Claudia Frutas-Peterson, our managing partner in D.C.
My practice is international arbitration. I do investment arbitration. I represent states in investment arbitration cases, but I also do international commercial arbitration, which is a different type of animal, in arbitration. I mean, I know that there is a debate out there, but I do definitely think that there are two practices that they are different. You know, in investment arbitration, you always have a state involved, you know, a sovereign entity involved. In commercial arbitration, we're talking more about commercial disputes, you know, but I also, I focus on international matters, international disputes matters.
And it's interesting because when you say there's some debate out there, I know that you're very actively involved in the arbitration community, aren't you? I know that you teach. I know that you're always being invited to do speaking engagements at conferences. You're part of a kind of thought leadership as well.
Yes, I'm part of the community. As you said, I mean, I have been teaching the international commercial arbitration and investment arbitration since 2008. Can you believe it? It has been great. You know, teaching also gives me the opportunity to be surrounded by young people. You know, they are always creative. I always feel like I learn from them a lot. And that also really allows me to stay, connected to current matters. But yes, I do a lot of conferences in the US, abroad. I'm originally from Mexico, so I have the opportunity to go and present in Spanish, you know, and also in my broken English and my French.
And is arbitration a good thing for a young lawyer to be looking at?
It's a very sexy thing for a young lawyer to be looking at. It's one of those fields of the law, international law, that is very dynamic. I have seen the field change, you know, for the past 10, 15 years. It has changed enormously, not only investment arbitration, but also commercial arbitration. And being in D.C., which is a very international city, that also brings another element in the whole equation. Because we have great universities in town. You know, of course, we have very brilliant young people who come and do their LLMs here. And that has really put the city in a very well position, you know, when it comes to talk about international arbitration.
And of course, when you're here sitting in the Washington, D.C. office, you're totally aware of that because you can actually see the White House from the top balcony, can't you?
I know. We are so lucky that we have a great location. To me, it's also a little bit of nostalgia because our offices are located very close to the World Bank. I used to work at ICSID, you know, which is the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes. And so we are just across the street, the White House, and across the street, the World Bank. And I love the location of our DC office.
And within the office, actually, I mean, it's a very internationally oriented office as a whole, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that I thought that it would be super interesting to do, you know, when I start working as the managing partner of the DC office, is to really preserve and continue to develop the internationality aspect of Curtis, because Curtis, as it is a super international law firm. I will say that one of the few, in the sense that it's truly an international firm. The lawyers are from all over the place. We have offices in 19 different countries. And in this office in DC, one of my ideas was to really represent that internationality of the city. So we have colleagues from all over. I mean, you have met them.
I was amazed. We've just had lunch, international lunch. And around the table, you've got people from where?
Yeah, we have people from Uzbekistan, you know, from Dominican Republic, from Guatemala, you know. Of course, we also have Americans.
Yeah, but even the Americans, I think one of them was telling me about her time living in Buenos Aires.
Yes, so, indeed, yeah. Indeed. Yes, I think when you think about it in this office, at least maybe there are 5 or 6 languages that are spoken, you know, just in this office as native languages, you know, so which I think is super cool.
If you had to sum up the office in a couple of words, what would they be?
Oh, my God, that's tough. I think a cool place to be, to do challenging stuff.
Okay.
I think I would say it that way.
Thanks to Claudia Frutas-Peterson for speaking with me, and I love the way she chose to describe working at Curtis, a cool place to do challenging stuff, which it is. So next, let's turn to Maria Ozolins, an associate here in DC whose practice focuses on international investment and commercial arbitration. I began by asking her just how international her work for Curtis really is.
It is much more international than other firms. It just has a model where teams are distributed across offices, so you're always working with someone in a different office. I don't think I've had a single case where all of the team members were in the same office. And that's unique. I mean, I'm married to a lawyer.
Okay.
Fortunately or unfortunately, and his firm does not work in that way. Everyone he works with is in the U.S. There's not a lot of cross-office cooperation.
That is so interesting because I've always been convinced that that is a unique factor here.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your day-to-day. The work diet, if you like, the kind of stuff that you're doing day-to-day.
Well, it depends on where you are in the life cycle of an arbitration. So if you're at the beginning of a case, like I am right now with a new case with the team that's mostly in New York, you are looking at arbitrators because you're trying to decide which arbitrator to appoint to represent you in the to represent your party in the arbitration and which arbitrator to nominate as chair. So you really want to understand the background of an arbitrator, how they might approach the issue that's important to you in the case, any publications that they have, any conflicts that they might have. So that's something that you do in the beginning of a case, which is really fun. It's basically like being a detective on, you know, whoever you might be considering. But if you are later in the life cycle of a case, you have a filing, then it looks much different. Then you're at your office very late, finalizing the footnotes, putting together the arguments. Or if you are preparing for a hearing, it looks very different at that time.
And do you have hearings in Washington or do you try? I mean, how is that? I know that you represent a lot of Latin American countries, for example, and the work's led out of Washington, but you're deployed on a whole bunch of arbitrations, aren't you? Not necessarily related to Washington as a city or even the US.
Yes, and it depends on where the seat of the arbitration is. The seat is the place that the parties agree will form the law governing the arbitration, not necessarily the law of the contract, but the jurisdiction whose arbitration rules will preside over the arbitration.
So if you're, say, under the London rules, the seat of arbitration would be London?
Well, no. Like if the seat of the arbitration is London, then the arbitration law of England and Wales will apply, and any award that's challenged would be brought before English courts, and any hearing would be held here typically, although you can also hold the hearing in a place different than the seat. It's a complicated concept.
Is that because basically the parties are agreeing each time and you've agreed to what you've agreed to in the contract, which is why you get so much difference?
Yes, it's all up to the parties where they want to have these things take place. So sometimes we have hearings in Washington because the seat is in Washington, and that's because ICSID is there, which is the World Bank organ that oversees a lot of these investment disputes. I've had hearings seated in Singapore.
Oh, wow.
Which was very, very fun to go there. I've never been there before that.
Wow, a lot of variety then.
Yes.
Is there a highlight? You know, thinking about your experience so far, you've got lots of experience, you've been working in different countries. What's the best moment so far in your career, do you think? Is there a high?
Yes, I have a recent one, which is last summer. I got to do my first cross-examination, and it was so much fun. I loved it, and I can't wait to do another one.
Excellent. And what kind of skills do you think? I mean, you know, if you're a student thinking about arbitration as a discipline, what do you need to be good at?
There's a lot of things. One thing that comes to mind and what I always tell students that contact me is that you need to be able to stay up late.
Okay.
And that's something that I think people don't realize until it's too late. If you can't stay up late, then this is not for you, because you can plan in advance as much as you want, and many of our colleagues do that, but there's always going to be last minute things, and there's just a certain amount of cramming and late nights that you can't avoid.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Any general advice?
General advice is that networking really matters as much as everyone says it does. It's never too early to start that.
That's interesting, because one of the things that I've always noticed about the arbitration world is that you can be opposing counsel one minute, and then the same person can turn up as an arbitrator on a case.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those odd disciplines in law where you can go to events, you can, what in other practice areas might be fraternize with the kind of opposition kind of thing, but it's a bit more synergistic than that, maybe. Do you find that?
Yeah. I mean, it's unique in that you have people playing different roles within the same system at different times.
Yeah.
So you do need to be collegial with everybody.
What's Claudia like to work with?
She is dynamic. That's okay. The word I would use for her. She always has a million things going on, and she always has a smile on her face. So I don't know how she does it.
My thanks to Maria Ozolins, and before her, Claudia Frutas-Peterson, for speaking with me about what goes on in our Washington, D.C. offices here at Curtis. In the next episode, I'll be meeting colleagues working in our New York offices to find out about the areas of law they specialise in and how they feel about working here at Curtis at HQ. If you're interested in exploring a career with us wherever you are, head over to curtis.com to find out more. And if you're enjoying the series, why not travel with us? Follow On Tour with Curtis now, wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find behind-the-scenes insights from Milan, Rome, London, Buenos Aires, and Muscat, all available to listen to now.